AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Supreme Court expected to rule this morning over whether former President Donald Trump has broad immunity over prosecution for any actions that he took as president. For any actions there, former top aide Steve Bannon reporting to prison today for his four-month sentence for refusing to testify before Congress about January 6th. Former Presidents Obama and Clinton among the Democrats doubling down, it said, on their support for Joe Biden even after last week's disastrous debate performance.
Political reports Biden's family is urging him to fire or demote top campaign aides for not preparing him to go on the attack and for overworking him before the debate. A new poll shows 72% of registered voters do not believe Biden has the mental or cognitive health necessary to serve as president.
ABC's M. Nguyen. Boeing agreeing to a deal with the Justice Department that would avoid a trial over 737 MAX crashes that killed hundreds of people. This is ABC News. A young Oklahoma entrepreneur is turning a kid's cliche into cash by joining the Chamber of Commerce.
Six-year-old Sue Ann LeMay saved her money from her lemonade stand she's operated for 4 years. Her mom urged her to pay the $10 dues to the Tunkhawa, Oklahoma Chamber of Commerce Exec Director Christy Crumrine.
With her own money?
One, two, three.
A ribbon cutting for her new lemonade, hot dogs, and pizza business. What does LeMay really, really, really like doing?
I really, really, really like selling stuff.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Parent company of the movie rental service Redbox has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment reportedly hasn't paid employees in over a week. The company has at least $970 million in debt to a number of Hollywood studios. Walgreens and Walmart, the company's publishing arm that puts out the Chicken Soup series, is not affected by the bankruptcy filing. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You're going to find incredible savings during the 4th of July sale at Verlo Mattress. We dare you to compare our American-made, locally crafted, factory direct mattresses. You see, we handcraft every Verlo mattress locally and pass the savings on to you. And every mattress we make is backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. Save big when you upgrade to an adjustable base. And the more you buy, the more you save on pillows, sheets, and mattress protectors. But you'd better hurry. American-made, locally crafted. Verlo.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died unexpectedly on Friday. Delagrave was first elected in 2015. County Board Chair Tom Kramer will serve as the acting county executive until the position is filled. Delagrave was born and raised in Racine County and lived in the area his entire life. Milwaukee leaders are calling for an end to gun violence after 2 days of multiple shootings. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman spoke at a press conference Thursday.
And we as a community need to step up and say, enough! Enough! Show our young ones how to resolve these issues in a productive way. Do something!
15 people were shot in Milwaukee on Wednesday and Thursday. A man, a pregnant woman, and a one-year-old baby were killed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
A Brewers win over the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-1 victory over the Chicago Cubs in Milwaukee. Chicago's Kyle Hendricks had his curveball and changeup working until the fourth when he gave up a home run to Christian Yelich, then three consecutive singles, followed by a grand slam by Bryce Terang. I asked Hendricks, was that the worst inning of his career?
I've had a lot of really bad innings. You just sit and you evaluate it for what it was. It was pretty clear to me that there were pitches up over the middle of the plate. So when I'm doing that, you don't give yourself much of a chance anyway. way.
After giving up a solo home run on the second pitch of the game, the Brewers' Freddie Peralta settled in, retired 14 batters in a row. How did he react to Terang's grand slam?
I get excited and I get emotional in that moment. I said a bad word that I'm not allowed to say here. But it was great, great feeling.
The crew opened a series tonight against the Rockies. Racing at Road America, Paul Menard took the checkered flag at the Trans Am event, but was later penalized for illegal contact with another car. He dropped a second, making Brent Cruz the winner. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have thunderstorms with heavy rain possible late tonight, tomorrow, and especially tomorrow night. We're talking 1 to 2 inches or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tomorrow night. Today's looking good, though. Sunny, 74. Storms late tonight, tomorrow, with a high tomorrow near 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm calling it now before the opinion actually drops. On Monday, the Supreme Court is going to decide that in some situations, American presidents are kings. There's no better place to hear the breakdown.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons at 2.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
All right, we've got a lot of things coming up this hour.
We do. But first, we want to tell you that the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's east and west sides, or just go online at verlo.com. That's Verlo.
All right.
Thank you. All right.
A little bit later on, we've got Jim Santel stopping by. I mean, I can't wait to hear what he has to say about the Supreme Court decision on the Chevron deference and repealing it completely, not just making an adjustment, completely, and what that means for the future of our country.
That's a big decision.
This is one of the biggest decisions ever.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to hear what he has to say about it, because I got a lot of things to say about it.
Mm-hmm. We're also going to be talking with Brittany Merlot, give us an update on the weather here for the first day of July, first week of July. Right now, 56 degrees with sunshine and highs in the mid-70s today.
Okay, we had all the Democrats out there hyperventilating after the debate. They were just worried sick about Biden being their candidate.
Right.
He started off rather slow, probably under the weather, hoarse, but then sounded much better halfway through. That didn't help. Still, a lot of people very disappointed in the debate. You attended the debate at the Barrymore Theater with the Devils.
A lot of reactions there to everything, both sides, to Trump and
very depressing.
Biden.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so, one of the great moves that the Biden campaign made was having a speech the next day with a fired up Joe Biden.
That's right. He was ready to go then.
Oh, it was good stuff. It really was.
Yeah.
But still, I thought this perspective from John Fugel saying was the right way to think about it.
Okay.
You know, we talked to Fugelsang backstage for the Sexy Liberal concert
Stephanie
that
Miller
they put
show.
On here.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, really fun
and
to hang out
with.
You know,
I got to say this about them.
Yeah.
We sat there and we chatted with all of them.
Right.
Not one of them said, hey, you know, I'm kind of busy here. I'm trying to put the show on.
No,
you know,
they
just very chatted
open.
And very friendly.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
So anyway, Fugelsang, one of the nicest guys around, and did the 20 push-ups before the show started. Yeah.
He's in good shape.
He fits him in there.
Yeah.
but anyway, this is his point of view in regards to the whole debate issue. Let's check it out.
It was quite a debate. Joe Biden had a bad performance, which I guess means I no longer support abortion rights, and I now think billionaires need a tax cut, and I've decided climate change is a hoax, so I'm giving up on everything I ever believed in. Kind of the vibe I'm getting. Look, Pete, I watched it. I was doing the live coverage for SiriusXM Progress last night, so I was working. I didn't get to kick back and enjoy it and have a breezy, fun romp like the rest of you who watched it for pleasure. But Joe Biden at age 116, in pajamas and a wheelchair, drooling on the clicker, still appoints better judges than Donald Trump. Joe Biden's brain kept alive in a jar fights harder for non-millionaires than Donald Trump. Do you understand this was the first debate in history where somebody said, I didn't have sex with a porn star? Do you understand that Man Baby went on TV and claimed he never had sex with a woman? He paid six figures to claim they never had sex, but Biden had a bad debate. So I guess I should despair now. He, you know, look, Biden's 81 with a stutter, but show me a universe where a guy can get up there and lie. I was trying to write down the lies, and at 23, I had to stop because my hand was hurting. But I mean, Donald Trump, migrants are getting luxury hotels. Like lie after lie after lie. Right. Donald Trump told his favorite lie for the rubes in the stadium that a baby can be taken out of the womb in the ninth month and wrapped up in a papoose and killed. He told that lie around adults. And you know what the adults did? Nothing. Donald Trump finally told that lie around sane people. And the sane people said, let the 81-year-old president with a stutter correct him. It's not my job. I mean, That's what we witnessed last night. That's what it was. And so show me a debate anywhere in the world where a guy can demonstrably lie over 50 times and the other side is terrified that they had a bad night.
That's it.
There
right?
you go.
I mean, that says it all. Could you cue up cut number 7?
Okay.
Because this is the Biden speech the next day after.
Yeah.
And this is just genius coming out like he did and what he said. Let's check it
Fired
out.
Fired up.
Let me close with this. I know I'm not a young man. State the obvious. Well, I know. Folks, I don't walk as easy as I used to. I don't speak as smoothly as I used to. I don't debate as well as I used to. But I know what I do know. I know how to tell the truth.
There you go.
I know right from wrong.
That helps.
And I know how to do this job. I know how to get things done.
That's right.
And I know, like millions of Americans know, when you get knocked down, you get back up.
There you go.
Good for him.
That's the big line.
Yep.
I know what it took to take our economy from the depths of the pandemic to where it is today, the strongest economy in the world. I know what it'll take to bring this economy to everybody. I know what it'll take to rally the world to stand up against Putin and defend freedom, not yield to him. And I know what it'll take to keep the world safe and free for the years ahead. Folks, I give you my word as a Biden, I would not be running again if I didn't believe with all my heart and soul I can do this job. Because quite frankly, the stakes are too high. The stakes are too high.
Yes, you can.
Oh, yes, you can.
Yes, you can. All right.
That's
let's.
Okay.
Let's just take that
reflect
in.
Reflect on that for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. He had his energy back the next day.
Yeah. So, and they're suggesting that he do this more often, day after day after day, to
more
get
appearances.
Out there and give people a chance to see him energize as he normally is. Mm-hmm. What they did to prepare him for the speech, who knows the debate? It's just too crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe just, they over-prepared him. You know, maybe they spent a week up at Camp David trying to, you know, film with facts and figures and all of that. Just let him be
Joe Biden. Let him be who he is, right? And then, of course, now CNN's getting a lot of flack for not doing any fact-checking during the debate.
Yeah.
And they didn't give the candidates enough time to really answer the questions. And be asked a question, you know, is that factual or not? See, there they just wasn't enough time for that.
Yeah, they didn't do the follow-ups. They just went on to the next question or say would restate the question.
They should have given it more time for, for them to fact-check at the same time but still asking the questions that they wanted to ask. But instead, they just, you know, rambled all the way through this thing because they had so many different questions. And that's never a good thing.
So the next debate is scheduled for September sometime.
We'll see if that happens.
Well, I don't know if they've either one has committed to it yet. For
either one, for real. I think, you know, Biden will do it.
Yeah.
But you never know about Trump at that point.
Right. Sam?
Most of the Gen Z discourse about the debate has been on TikTok, obviously. And Sophia was showing me some compilations of best moments, basically, people thought. But about the debate, she thought that the new rules were good about not having an audience, about muting the mics, but that there needs to be more about, like, fact-checking, stuff like that.
Yes.
That definitely would be a good idea for the September debate if both candidates commit to it.
Right. And you could sum it up by saying it was the format, stupid.
Yeah.
But it was the format. And I think they'll have to rethink that, at least give enough time, fewer questions, enough time to fact check during the debate.
The next one.
I will say, from all of the TikToks that she sent to me, like when you speed it up and like people are talking a little faster than a normal speaking voice, A, it's a lot funnier. And B, it's even more funny because Biden, at least the ones that I watch, Biden had a lot more like one-line zingers at Trump about all the stupid things that he was saying than vice versa.
He did.
Yeah, he had a lot of those, but those were overshadowed by the stammering and stuttering.
In the beginning. All right. Well, we live and learn.
Yeah.
At the expense of perhaps democracy. Who knows?
Well, coming up, we're going to be talking with Jim Santel in just a few
minutes.
The
Chevron deference.
Yeah. The Supreme
Court
decision.
Not a lot of people heard about the Chevron deference.
This thing is huge.
Or cared about it.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's why we want to cover it here on the show, we want everybody to understand just how important this decision was to the country. We're going to have a different country after this. We are. This is going to make a major change in all the rules and regulations that we have right now. We'll get into that. But I want to get into something about trickle-down economics. I ran across an article I thought was just super interesting. I hope it is to you today. But anyway, it's the top 1% of Americans have taken, get this, $50 trillion from the bottom 90% of the population. That's you and me.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
The top 1% of Americans have taken $50 trillion from the bottom 90%. That is how much the upward redistribution of income has cost American workers over the past several decades. This is not some back-of-the-napkin approximation. According to groundbreaking new work from the RAND Corporation, they came up with this, had the more equitable income distribution of the three decades following World War II through 1974, if it merely held steady, the total annual income of American earnings below the 90th percentile would have been $2.5 trillion higher in the year 2018. Breaking it down even more. Enough. Get this.
Yeah.
Are we? Money.
We're getting there.
Okay. Are we? Oh, we're at
we're
the
getting
end.
There. Just
oh,
hanging.
Doggone it. Okay. enough to more than double the median income of Americans. Enough to pay every single working American in the bottom nine decentiles of addition $1,144 a month. That's how much more we would be making every month, every single year.
We'll get to more of this in just a moment. John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM, broadcasting live from Madison, the capital city of Wisconsin, if you're just driving through. check us out on the Civic Media app as well. Text us or give us a call and tell us what you think. We're always looking for your responses.
Yes, we are. It looks like a beautiful day to start out July. We got sunshine here right now.
Well, how do you know that for sure? Maybe we should check with a meteorologist.
Yeah, maybe we should check with somebody,
somebody who knows.
Professional meteorological
Besides
degree.
Besides just looking out the window, I mean, that's not enough.
Let's talk to Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist.
There you go.
Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, guys. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Fabulous.
Incredible. When that humidity just left the area, it was like unbelievable. It was heaven.
Yeah, weather's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, the sun was nice and warm. The winds were calm yesterday, too. Mm-hmm. Saturday was a little rough up here, but overall, fantastic. And we're starting today off gorgeous, too. Nice high pressure system dominating the area for now. Mm-hmm. It is going to move off to the Ohio Valley as we go through the day today, allowing the next low pressure to move on in.
And that means... Tomorrow we're going to have storms. No? Right?
No, we're definitely going to see some heavy rainfall. That's for sure.
Oh, no.
Someone needs to build an ark because Wisconsin, I swear.
This is ridiculous how much rain we've had this summer so far.
It's way above normal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. And we're looking at another inch to 2 inches just tomorrow. And we've got more rain, of course, as we go towards the 4th of July.
Yeah.
That's a given. Happens every time. We can still keep our fingers crossed that it holds off till after the fireworks. But that does not look like a heavy dumping of rainfall as we go into Thursday and Friday. So the big concern is definitely tomorrow, the rising rivers. I mean, if you've got camping plans somewhere and it's by those creeks and rivers, you might want to double check. And it's just going to be a little bit of a mess, sloppy mess, and mosquitoes running crazy.
Yeah. I was traveling yesterday up toward Baraboo and over the Wisconsin River there at Sauk City. Wow, it was out of its banks and it looked really high. So all that rain is making an effect in the rivers and streams, and farmers are pulling their hair out, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are.
It's my wife has stopped asking to go canoeing. She knows that when it rains and the high water levels are out there, I'm not going anywhere near the water.
She knows that the next time you try and strap a canoe to your roof, it's going to end like last time.
That's true.
Slid off. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a shocker for us both.
Oh, my gosh, that happened to you?
It did. It really did. Yeah. Our little boating trip, not successful.
It was a good attempt.
We tried. We did try. But, you really have to fasten those things to the top of the car. Do what your dad did. Take 8 hours doing it because it works that way.
Yeah.
It does work that way.
Yeah, I'm pulling over every 10 minutes just to make sure. Just to make sure. Is that ratchet strap tight enough?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a kayak or a canoe or how...
Oh,
how
yes, I've
boat?
Got two kayaks.
Yeah?
I love the water, and I also have two stand-up paddle boards, so I'm always out there any way that I can. But
wow.
Non-motorized.
Yeah.
Wow,
well,
nice.
That's loving the water.
Yeah. Well, very good, Brittany. So, again, for the 4th of July weekend coming up, what do people need to know if they're traveling, and what are the best days? What are we looking at here?
Sure. If you want to make all your plans, and the best days is definitely going to be Saturday and Sunday.
All right.
Sure. Guaranteed sunshine, 80 degrees. perfect. I mean, the dew points only rise into the low to mid 60s, so it's not even going to be that humid either. Just a little sticky on occasion. But otherwise, gorgeous. Honestly, we're only looking at the chances of that rain really ruining the holiday would be Thursday night and into our Friday. Friday is going to be a little wet one with showers on and off throughout the day.
Well, I can handle that. You know, John and Gordy are off.
We'll be here
virtually, though.
Yes, virtually, we will still continue the show. We prepared
in advance.
Yeah.
All right, Brittany. Well, thank you very much. You have a good day. And
you
we'll
too.
Talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right. Take care.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.
Well, let's get back to the really bad news about trickle-down economics, okay? As I was mentioning.
Okay. Why not?
If we didn't have it, medium income would be up enough to pay every single working American in the bottom 9 deciles an additional $1,144 a month every month, every single year. That's $50 trillion that would have gone into the paychecks of working Americans had inequality held constant after World War II for the 3 decades following that. $50 trillion that would have built a far larger and more prosperous economy. $50 trillion that would have enabled the vast majority of Americans to enter this pandemic far more healthy, resilient, and financially secure.
And this isn't just a random poll. This is the Rand Corporation.
Rand Corporation came up with all of this information. They ran the numbers. And it took them a long time to do it, but now they even have charts along with this. Mm-hmm. In granular demographic detail, for example, are you a typical black man earning $35,000 a year? Well, you are being paid at least $26,000 a year less than you would have had if income distribution had held constant after World War II. Are you a college-educated, prime-aged, full-time worker earning $72,000? Depending on the inflation index used, rising inequality is costing you between $48,000 and $63,000 a year. Trickle-down has taken money out of your pocket and put it into the top 1% of Americans' income. On average, extreme inequality is costing the medium income full-time worker about $42,000 a year.
Isn't that something? Mind-blowing.
And there are megas out there that want to continue to give tax cuts to the wealthy because they think somehow that trickle-down is going to work, that the big corporations and the wealthy individuals will expand their businesses and hire more people because hiring more people just adds more expenses to their business. Why would they do it? They're not going to do that.
No.
So, boy.
But then they argue that if you give the tax cuts to the rich, you know, that will expand things by they're going to hire more workers, as you just said. But if you tax the rich, they say, well, they're just going to pass that along to the consumers.
Which they do, by the way.
Yeah. And that'll cause inflation and everything else.
This is the concept I was thinking about after I saw this story. Wealth and corporate tax cuts.
Yeah.
When Republicans talk about it, they say let them keep more of their money.
Mm.
Okay? And everybody believes that. Well, I want a little adjustment to that.
Yeah.
They want to keep more of our money.
Yes.
It's not them keeping more of their money. They want to keep more of our money. What they do is they reduce the amount of product in their product. They raise the prices. They make higher profits, and then the Republicans give them a tax cut so they don't pay higher taxes.
Mm.
And they keep more of the money that they pulled out of our pockets by reducing the amount of food we get and the higher cost of each product that we buy. That's how they've been pickpocketing us for decades.
Yeah. Okay.
So I hope that makes it very clear. No, let's not let them keep more of their money.
Right.
They're keeping more of our money.
Yes. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking with Jim Santel, attorney, and he's going to discuss the Chevron deference.
Yes.
Oh, this is such a huge decision.
It's huge.
Kind of went through all the process over the weekend underneath all the other debate news.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it coming up on the John and Gordy Show.
Mm-hmm. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 18 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. Go to freedomfireworkswi.com.
There is a lot of conversation in Wisconsin agriculture about conservation, sustainable farming practices, but sometimes seeing is really believing. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. Ron Brooks from Brooks Farm in Waupaca says once you visually see the end result, it can convince a lot of farms to change their practices. Details next. Ron Brooks from Brooks Farm in Waupaca is a previous winner of the Leopold Conservation Award. He said by showing other farms the success they've had with their no-till practices, well, that convinces them to think about doing it for themselves.
And we'll get in the plane and we will follow if they have a farm, or if they, you know, we'll take a variety of farms, take our no-till farm or a conventionally tilled farm, and we'll just follow the water. And it is eye-opening. You'll see, you know, from our fields, clean water coming off. If it does come off, typically it infiltrates and there's no water coming off. And then you'll see conventionally tilled soil and the topsoil that's leaving and the silt fans in the river. And it's really, really eye-opening for young people to see that and go, oh, yeah, I probably should take a look at adopting these practices.
Ron Brooks from Brooks Farm in Waupaca, previous winner of the Leopold Conservation Award here in the state. He says the biggest challenges he sees for beginning farmers are just the cost of admission. He also says the learning curve has gotten very, very steep. So again, learning by someone else's examples sometimes really resonates.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
And Wisconsin dairy producers got a little good news in the month of May. Their milk price went up to $21.30 a hundredweight. That's about $1.83 per gallon at the farm gate for a gallon of raw milk. The price is $2.70 a hundredweight higher than what they were paid for April milk. And that's what's happening in food news for a Monday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have thunderstorms with heavy rain possible late tonight, tomorrow, and especially tomorrow night. We're talking 1 to 2 inches or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tomorrow night. Today's looking good, though. Sunny, 74. Storms late tonight, tomorrow, with a high tomorrow near 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 56.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts. Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
It's that time of year again. The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 18 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan joins us to talk about National Postal Workers Day. And we'll hear from Dean Muller with the Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. From the Civic Media Mothership, it's the John and Gordy Show.
Stephanie Miller here, inviting you to listen to my show right after John and Gordy. It is like cleanup every morning here. A mess they make right here on Mad Radio, 92.7 WMDX Madison.
Thank you for that ringing endorsement, Stephanie. The John and Gordy Show, sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com. That's verlo.com.
All right. Well, we've got Jim Santel with us, our legal expert, and we got to talk about the Chevron decision. The Chevron deference is what they call it, and the repeal of it completely. A lot of people were watching this case because it's probably one of the most important cases of the decade.
Can you outline what this actually means?
All right, let's have Jim, as our guest, explain what the Chevron deference is.
Sure. So once again, it's been around for 40 years, 40 years, actually comes out of the Reagan administration, when the Reagan administration decides it wants to vest in agencies more authority than the courts, believe it or not. So this is how far we've come, right? So what is Chevron deference at the time and until last Friday? Basically says this: if you've got a statute, and of course Congress does from time to time pass statutes, believe it or not, that prescribe how agencies are supposed to work, could be the EPA, could be OSHA, could be IRS, Social Security, you name them, whoever you've got out there, Congress provides statutory guidance and authority for how they do their work. If in fact there is some ambiguity or there's some absence of a particular aspect of how that's to be applied, what do? You look to the agency experts, right? These are the people who know what they're doing. These are the scientists. These are the medical people. These are the architects. These are the engineers. These are the radio broadcasters, if you will, who know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. Again, and we rely upon them, the courts do, in case there is a dispute about their interpretation. And again, it's not complete. Courts still look at the agency's decision and say, well, gee, does that make general sense? Is it reasonable? And if it is, if what the scientists and the experts, the experienced people have said, makes some common sense, you defer to that when it comes to interpreting the law. It's just that simple. And it's been applied again for 40 years, across the board. It moves government along. It ensures that there's regularity in this in terms of a process. And now what the Supreme Court has said, and we'll obviously get into this, is somehow that system is unworkable. That's what the Chief Justice and others say. And now we're back to vesting all of this back where in the courts. We no longer rely upon experts. And of course, this is a larger portion of this attack upon agencies, what Donald Trump describes as the deep administrative state. We've got all these mysterious people making decisions. Nothing could be further from the truth. These are good civil servants. They come to work every day. They apply their expertise, their background on behalf of you and me. And now we've ripped from them these fundamental, efficient decision-making processes and said, we're going to take all that back into ourselves, meaning the courts, and we'll decide it for them. It is not only dramatic, it is cataclysmic for the operation of government going forward. It's just the first business day after we heard this. It's going to take a while, but it has dramatic impact upon how our nation works, our government works.
It seems like they would judge shop at this point and go to the districts where there are more conservative judges and federal judges and make the decisions, like the Fifth Circuit, and they would, you know, probably vote against any kind of movement within the government to make changes. And I think this also discourages the government bodies from making any changes or even proposing any changes, because they might be sued.
Sure, it's a deterrent impact, right? It just, gosh, should we do this normal, natural thing? Well, I don't know. Maybe some judge out there will substitute her or his view on it. Mm-hmm. And to your very good point, we've already seen this in practical application just this past term. It's not directly applicable to Chevron, but remember Judge Kaczmarek in Northern Texas? Mm-hmm. This is the fellow who decided unilaterally to drop kick 25 years of FDA authorization, finding that mifepristone is safe and secure for abortions. He relies on two or three articles, all of which have been discredited, and says, you know what? My gut tells me that mifepristone is wrong. I'm going to take it off the market here. Now, that gets reversed on a standing basis in this very term, but that's exactly what happens. You've got federal judges who, with due respect, do not have expertise in all of these areas, nor should they. We don't expect them to. That's why we've got the administrative processes. It's not a dark administrative state. It is very, very transparent. You can see what happens all the time. You've got processes inside. And if you're unhappy until Friday with what happens administratively, you can, in fact, go into a federal
court.
That's
right.
And you can, in fact, appeal those decisions. It's just, the decision does not explain why it is we're making this change, other than the fact, and this is why Americans, including all your listeners, should be concerned, it is just a judicial adoption of this political view that somehow America has been taken over by agencies. And again, these administrative people who, again, are not responsible to anybody. Oh, they're incredibly responsible to people, including the others in the executive branch. That has always been the way it's happened under administrations, both Republican and Democrat. No more as of Friday.
We're talking with Jim Santel, attorney, what about the immunity case? Today is the day, right? This is the day that the Supreme Court is going to talk about immunity and any other cases pending. So what do we expect? When is this going to come down? Do we have any idea today?
Sure. The answer is in about 1 hour and 20 minutes or so, as I look at my clock here.
Okay.
Supreme Court is going to announce probably two decisions. One has to do with social media. It is probably the last of the social media cases. They decide another one. But the big one is going to be today, immunity. And as we have talked on this wonderful show, the notion that somehow the United States Supreme Court may well, based upon the oral argument, carve out some set of things, some descriptive categories where a president can commit crimes and not be held responsible for them. That is what we may hear in now a minute or an hour and 15 minutes or so. Probably they're going to put together some hybrid on this. They're not going to give Donald Trump everything he wants. Not going to say he's completely immune. But they're going to probably differentiate, as we have talked before, between official capacity stuff and personal capacity, which makes no sense inside the federal government at all. And send this back down to Tanya Chutkan, the judge, who's going to say, what is this definition? What are we talking about here? I think she should be this morning the jurist who's the most afraid of what the Supreme Court's going to do, because it's going to change dramatically what she can and cannot do. And changes, again, the very fabric of our republic. The notion that our chief executive can engage in some conduct which you'd otherwise describe as criminal, and the Supreme Court is hemming and hawing on what that may be, that is stunning once again, shocking. It is unprecedented, and it changes the way that our Constitution and our country once again has worked. But for Loper Bright Enterprises, the Chevron case, I would say that that's the number one case. Mm-hmm. Loper Bright and the Chevron thing is so dramatic that immunity comes in a very, very close second in terms of major cases this term.
Well, the question I have is the Supreme Court has just taken away a power that I thought the executive branch had. Because presidents run on a certain agenda, and people vote for that agenda, not just the president, but the agenda itself. And when that agenda is stopped short simply because now the courts will decide whether a law or administrative law can be put in place, that takes away the agenda. So a president no longer has the right to have an agenda or can be counted on having that supported by the courts. The courts could take it away. They've taken power away from the executive branch. Is there nothing anybody can do about that?
What you've just said is exactly what the dissenters said, including Elena Kagan, saying this is a huge power grab. And it does. It changes the way that our campaigns are operated because, frankly, the executive candidates will still say, I will do this, I will do that. But the reality is now that they do not have that ultimate power to do that. That's how our country was designed. We've got a Congress that establishes the law. You've got the executive branch that does what? It executes on that. And yes, necessarily has to interpret things. When that interpretation is no longer in the presidency, in this broad executive branch, not an administrative state, many agencies that operate on behalf of you and me, and we send it back to the courts, it again is this drift that we have seen for most of our lifetimes. The Supreme Court is now deciding all these major cases that should be the subject of a legislative action, right?
Right.
Abortion, candidly, voting rights, civil rights, pollution, air quality. We just saw that again last week. All these things, and then executed by the other political branch, the executive branch. That's what James Madison contemplated.
Right.
This is a power grab of huge dimension.
Well, a lot of people are making the argument that support repealing Chevron was that these are unelected bureaucrats making decisions. And I have to say and correct them that the Supreme Court justices are unelected bureaucrats.
Right.
We Absolutely. Didn't put them there.
Right, right. And frankly, the administrative folks, the so-called unknown people doing all these kinds mm-hmm. of things that were mm-hmm. unelected, they are more responsive to the people than the Supreme Court is. Why? Because they're still subject to being their administrative law judges. They're still subject to being fired if, in fact, their supervisors determine that. They do not have lifetime tenure, much more responsive than the federal courts will, which have, of course, lifetime tenure from the time they're put in place.
Once again, we're talking with Jim Santel, attorney. Jim, I had a question. You mentioned one other case there, the social media case. What is that one?
Sure,
that
sure.
And will this, come down today.
Again, yeah, so this one has to do with a couple of states. It's Florida and Texas that do this. They pass legislation. Why? Because they think they can. That basically says social media platform providers, Google, Twitter, X, those kinds of things, we're going to tell you how to operate. And in particular, when it comes to something called content moderation, when you identify something that you find to be offensive, and there's a lot of that, as we know, or just plain wrong, misinformation about, say, the 2020 election being stolen, the kinds of medicines that can be applied to COVID-19. If there are things that are up on those posts, they will take them down, right? That's internal to their own operation. That's called content moderation. Mm-hmm. These two sets of legislation basically say that before Mark Zuckerberg can take anything down, his people have got to write a memorandum on every single time they take something that's racist and sexist and misogynist wow. and anti-Semitic, and got to write a memo basically explaining it before you do that. And in one of the states, if you're a candidate for any office, you get complete free reign. You can post anything, and those social media platforms cannot take it down. That's what the legislation says. Almost certainly, again, here's your prediction for this morning. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court will say, oh, no, you can't do that. The oral argument did indicate that a majority, not everybody, but a majority felt that that was way too much, not a proper exercise. Again, First Amendment issues. But that one will probably come down on the right side of things. There was another social media case last week also came down on the right side that gave government the capacity to encourage and to urge changes, but not to coerce the taking down of things that are in the nature of misinformation.
Well, one of the things that I want to get back quickly to Chevron is that the Supreme Court now can make decisions about the FCC. And the FCC has basically gone to a different position on a lot of things that we do on social media and on the internet. And whatever they do now is going to be overseen by the Supreme Court or the federal courts.
Right. Right. You still get agencies making regulations. But whereas before, those kinds of issues that you're talking about would get resolved at the administrative level, and we wouldn't see a lot of it, not because it's hidden, but mm-hmm. just because it's efficient to get these things done for the operation of government. Now what you'll do is you'll seek to stay those decisions, meaning suspend them. You'll file pleadings in the district courts, the appellate courts, eventually getting to the Supreme Court on all these particular issues about, just making this up, the microphones, if you will, the breadth of your coverage, those kinds of things.
Well, there's net neutrality, too. That's up for grabs at this point.
Yeah. And that too, you could always appeal that, but there would be a basis upon which to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, the notion is going to be, let's go into federal court on every application of yeah. that neutrality, mm-hmm. and we'll see what judges say. I don't think most federal judges, I worked for one of them who was terrific, he would always say, these are things I don't know about, and now we're going to ask them to decide on things that they're not experts in. That's
right.
The problem.
All right, Jim. Well, thanks for being a guest on the show and warning everybody about Chevron deference. It's a right. huge, huge decision.
Jim Santel, attorney. Thank you for being with us. Coming up, tidbits, leftovers, odds and ends on the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, broadcasting live from Madison, State Street. Where's this? Come on.
Come on.
I thought I had this time down, right?
Mad Radio, 92.7.
Boom, there it is. Yeah, rusty.
John and Gordy,
we don't play enough music on this program.
No. We should have a little competition talking up the ramp. Up to the post.
Yeah, to the post.
Set that up. Yeah. Sam doesn't know what I'm talking about right now.
Well, no, we explained, we taught it, you taught me on Friday, right?
That was off air. We were talking about the post.
Yeah.
Broadcast school doesn't exist anymore, so
that's true.
I didn't get to learn.
Probably
that.
For a reason. Okay. sunny skies today, wow. High near 74 right
Nailing
now.
It, man. Yeah,
temperatures in the 50s this morning. They're climbing quickly. Okay. Yeah. So here it is, July 1st. New month, new week, new day.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
By the way, this is our birthday month.
That's right.
Yeah, we've got birthdays coming up this month.
Yeah, mine's coming up Sunday, and then I think yours a week from Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep, 7 days away.
Yeah, yeah. What are we going to do? Are we going to do anything? We're kicking around some ideas, but we haven't really come up with anything.
The torture museum? I was thinking maybe.
Well, because we have a extended weekend. I mean, we're really not going to do
anything.
No,
we can't
really.
Do that.
Yeah, so that's our excuse.
You know,
we got the 4th of July weekend. Can't really do anything till maybe next week. Maybe next week we'll do something.
Well, I don't know. Should we? Right. You know, because, you know, birthdays at this age. We don't really want them.
We don't really care about them anymore.
We don't want to see them.
We should get my mom in here. Her birthday is right after your guys's.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. July 19th.
Oh, well, get her down here. Come on. Bring her in.
My wife, Ann.
She's never been on TV or radio before, I don't think.
Ann's birthday is the day after mine.
Oh, right? Wow. So many birthdays.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just... Birthdays for everybody today.
Well, July, this week. What is it?
I don't know.
Oh, I got to tell this story. I completely forgot about this. This happened over the weekend. So Sophia's birthday was like 2 months ago, but I didn't have a cake pan to make her a cake. Oh. So this weekend, I finally made her a cake.
Yeah.
And something broke through my two screens in my house and ate the cake.
What?
Wait a minute.
Well, that's your excuse?
You left the cake out.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't make a cake.
I left it in a pan covered with tinfoil.
Yeah.
And there's a window right in front of my kitchen sink.
Yeah.
And there was a big hole in one corner of the screen. And the cake was just shredded to pieces. And there was tinfoil everywhere.
Oh, my God.
So I closed the window. I threw the rest of the cake away.
Good.
And then the next day... I had a loaf of bread sitting out in like almost the same spot by my toaster.
Yeah.
A different window had another hole, and my bread was like half eaten.
What
kind of neighborhood do you live in? What kind of animals inhabit that neighborhood?
You need stronger screens.
I do. Yeah. Well, my landlord, he's like, he repaired the screens twice. And then it did it again.
Oh, no.
There have been three holes thus far, so we've got all our windows closed right now. He had to repair all three screens. He sprayed squirrel repellent, like, everywhere on the windows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, mm-hmm. like, if it happens again, he's going to go get metal screens. He's got a trap sitting in our living room right now also. It's just,
you think it's a squirrel, probably.
Well, I don't know what else it would be, because I live on, like, the second floor of this house.
I have never heard of anything like that.
Right. It's a brick house, so I don't know what would crawl up a brick wall to get into this.
Are there lots of trees around that window, or those windows?
For a squirrel to jump
there
onto the window.
There used to be one in our backyard, but there's not, like, there's not really any trees around.
Wow, I have never heard of eating through a screen.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I was joking with Sophia that I just made too good of a cake, and it just had to have some.
So she still is without a birthday cake after all these
Well, I gave her some to take home. I don't think she's eaten any yet. She doesn't actually like cake that much. But
okay. All right. Well, keep us posted.
Huh? Yeah, geez, that's outrageous.
Bizarre.
Oh, my God.
That's the leftovers for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I've never heard
of that.
What kind of cake was it? Of squirrels around our house.
It was a chocolate cake. A problem with some rodents last week at your house, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a chipmunk sneak in. So I propped open the door to air out the basement because I had the rug cleaner down there.
Right.
And was washing the rugs and, you know, the carpeting. And so I left it open, propped it open a little bit. To, you know, I had a fan down there blowing it, you know, to dry it out. And then, I was doing other business and went down the stairs, and this chipmunk came up halfway to greet me and then turned around and ran back down.
Man.
And I left the door open then, and I coaxed him out. I said, "It's okay, Mr. Chipmunk.
Is there a screen on that screen door?"
No, it's just a regular, like a storm door.
You should have taught him to sing.
Yeah.
What?
You should have taught him to sing like Dave Seville.
The chipmunk song. Well,
but he did come out. You know, I coaxed him. I just stood back, and I was out of sight around the corner. I said, "I'm not going to try to trap you or anything. Go ahead. Go on out. Join your chipmunk buddies."
Yeah.
And he did.
That's the last time you're
going to
leave the door open.
It is. Yeah.
Letting wildlife in.
Wildlife.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I want to get to something here we talked about last week, and it kind of borders on the subject of cooking.
Okay.
And that is a text from Kurt. And Kurt, we saw your text, and he writes, "I do all the cooking, and I'm a very good cook. I have used induction cooking, and I am not impressed. I challenge you to find anyone who takes cooking seriously that would prefer induction over a gas stove." And we were talking about gas stoves. And, you know, I have an electric glass top range myself.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know, if I had to replace that, would I get an induction?
Well, I wonder what professional chefs, you know, real cooks think about.
But he doesn't like it at all, and I'm wondering why. Yeah. What is it?
Yeah, what is it?
What's the problem with that? It seems to direct all of the energy into the pan in order to cook the object.
Mm.
It doesn't create a hot cooktop or anything. It just cooks.
Right.
And it's very efficient compared to any other electric cooktop.
Okay.
But anyway, Kurt?
Yeah, come on, Kurt.
You got me thinking about this. stop it. So we respond to this stuff, don't we?
Yeah. Well, hopefully Kurt will get in touch with us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So tomorrow we're going to have Jim Santel back?
Yes, we're going to have him back. And
depending
we're going to talk about the cases that
decisions.
Are coming. The two decisions he spoke about today.
Yeah, they're coming up
in
about an hour.
Later on.
Oh, boy. We've got a text in about my squirrel problem.
Oh, really?
It says raccoons can climb brick walls, and then they sent us a YouTube video. I hope I have a raccoon loose in my house.
You don't want raccoons.
The Guardian has a video of a...
of a raccoon
scaling
a wall. Scaling
the wall. That, you know what? That sounds like a raccoon.
Do you live in a big house? Like
biting through that.
Does it have an attic?
It does,
above
yeah.
Above you? Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Okay, we got to talk about that
right.
tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for today for the John and Gordy Show.
It's too bad. We had so many other things to talk
day.
About.
Have
okay,
so
see you later, everybody. Bye now.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbrus joins me to talk about Riverfest Lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.